well, it would be good if you'd pray for me. I'd like to start with a verse in 2 Peter, the first chapter. The fourth verse says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I want to think a little tonight, and we need the Lord to help us, but I want to think about these exceeding great and precious promises. And it's hard to know exactly what the scripture writer here is altogether thinking about, or what he could have been thinking about. But possibly he could have been considering all the promises that God had made down through time. Perhaps maybe in his mind to say this, he thought of the promises made to Abraham. God had promised Abraham something way back.
Yes.
And I think all of us here would acknowledge that. I know it's a part of, it's been a part of Christendom and the language of Christians, that not one promise has he failed in. God don't fail in promises. Not one promise has he ever failed in. And he keeps his promises. And I've read things about how many thousands of promises are in the scriptures. And all of these things we think about. But I think it's very important that we don't misunderstand God's promises.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes we can say in ourselves, God made this promise. For instance, I use it a lot of times. I believe God's sincere with it and meaning it. I'll be with you to the end.
Yes.
Even the end of the world. Oh, do I bank on that?
Yes.
Absolutely, I bank on that. So is it impossible for him not to be there? Is that what it means? Is God going to fail a promise? No, God ain't going to fail a promise. But is there anything else there that needs to make that promise happen? Most definitely.
Yes.
And there always has been.
Yes.
This isn't a one side, never has been. You can look through scripture to scripture and you'll find out God has made a covenant and made a promise in that.
Yes.
He's always made a promise with that. There's exceeding and great and precious promises. But they can go unfulfilled. They don't have to be kept. Because there's something else. There's a place for us in the middle of this. It isn't just that God says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. And I can show you different places and we're going to explore this a little bit. But it's a mistake for us to think that there isn't a part to play, because there is a gigantic part for us to play. Do you know one of the most significant promises that God made? He made to Abraham concerning the children of Israel and Abraham's seed. He promised them with something that was very important to them, and it's an analogy for us today. He promised them a land. A place to dwell, a place to live. It was very important at that time, because at that time in history, tribal disputes and people were always fighting for land. They were fighting for a place to dwell, a place to raise a home, or have a home, raise a family, have a place to live. It was very important to them. And God comes along and promises Abraham a land. We call it the promised land. Now, the land of Canaan in Christian circles a lot of times, they use it as an analogy for heaven, but it don't fit very well for heaven. I mean, no one ever assumes that you're going to be fighting giants and walled cities and all the things that they did after they passed in. So it's not really a very good, I've heard the songs and heard the messages, but they don't fit very well. But there is a part of our life that fits very well. And it also, God has promised us a land.
Yes.
We have a place to dwell in a spiritual sense. We have a land to dwell in. And it's full. It's full of milk and honey. It's full of the good things of life. It's to be joyful and peaceful and blessed. But it ain't always. But he promised it to be this way. He promised to give us a land. And folks, it's there. But I'm going to tell you, it's for the taking. You got to take it. He promised it, and I'll give you victory. So the story of the promised land, well, know this, the children of Israel come out of the bondage of Egypt, which is a great analogy of sin, and God brought them out of there, and they crossed their first great barrier of the Red Sea with a mighty hand, and they come out and sung the song of Moses in of deliverance, and what a wonderful God had delivered them through that and changed their situation from that bondage that they was in and brought them into a different existence and had for them a promise ahead of them. A promise was ahead of them that I'm going to do this for you. And he meant to keep his promise.
Yes, he did.
But not everybody got to see that promise fulfilled. But it wasn't God's fault.
No.
They aimed for him too. He promised it to him. He tried everything he could through the deliverance of them out of Egypt to confound every god that they ever known, to show that he was God and that he was worth trusting in. And that he would tell it right and do it right, and they could have believed that he was able to do it. But he wasn't going to do it for them. He wasn't going to do it for them. He never intended to do it for them. But he made it possible for them to do it for themselves. He gave them the ability and the capacity to go and get that land by faith. But you remember the story? They come up to a place of that, and Moses sends some spies over to go spy the land out. They went over and spied it out. And went and looked to see what it was all about. And in my mind, I'm convinced that the children of Israel had been very well rehearsed with the promise that was made to Abraham. Sure they were. They knew the promise. And they misunderstood that promise. God was going to give them the promise through faith. He was going to give a promise to them that they could do it if they would put him in their lives and strengthen themselves with God and go on in his name when they couldn't see it. But they didn't. But they knew the promise. The promise is that we're going to get vineyards that we didn't plant, cities that we didn't build. We're going to go in there. And I think to the most of them, they probably thought, this is a cakewalk. And if them spies would have come back and said, hallelujah to Jehovah, we went over there and there is beautiful cities with the sidewalk swept, the whole thing's lit up over there, and they ain't a soul in sight. They all gone. And these vineyards and these big old everything's planted and going, and they're flowing with milk and honey, and you can't find a person anywhere over there. God has done this for us. Wouldn't that have been great?
Yes.
That's what they expected. They expected that God was going to just open it up, and that's what they was going to have, and the promise to Abraham was going to be fulfilled. But wasn't what God had intended at all. So the spies go over there and go over and look the place over, and they come back and they report what they found. I don't think any of them was being dishonest in any way. They went over and come back and done what spies do. They went over and looked it over, and they come over and they started telling what they saw. These giants over there.
Yes.
People's hearts started melting. I thought that was gift to us. You giving me something with giants in it? That don't sound like you give it to me yet. Give it to me. And 10 of them, if you'll remember the report, they said we're like grasshoppers.
Yes.
In their sight. Big old fellas. And the number of them they're everywhere. And the cities, they just ain't got walls. Folks, them things are thick and high. And I don't know how you could ever get through them. What have we got into? You got into the promise, brother. You got to the promise. That's what you got to. You got to the promise. This is the promised land right here before you. God said, here's your promised land. And you look at that and say, whoa. But they was two of them with a vision of the promise. They said God gave it to us. Oh, what a wonderful land's over there. It's got pomegranates and grapes and flows with milk and honey, and said of a truth. These giants over there. Big old fellas. And of a truth, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But let me tell you another truth. We're well able to go take it. We're well able to go get it. You know, the Bible already tells us that the kingdom suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. The promises are laid out there of the life that the Lord wants to give us. But in the process of it, you'll look and say, what's this promise? This is a promise, but this is what it looks like? Folks, just on the other side of that is exactly. You ain't gonna say, well, the Lord has promised that my salvation ought to have joy in it. But I come face to face and there's everything but joy sitting there. Well, what is this? It's a walled city. It's a giant in front of me. What am I going to do with this? This message is about getting your sword in your hand. This message is about the willingness to press and go on and realize the promises of God that He's given to us as His people. And it isn't because it's smooth sailing or there's no bumps in the road. This is a promise to be, in spite of all those things, the promises are still there. He's given it to us, but it isn't always the obvious thing. With the children of Israel, I think you remember the story. It said of them when they gave that report that they wept all night. Now, what could you imagine why? They've already come through all of this stuff. And now they've come up to what they believe was my home, where I'm going to go, my expectations, and what I feel like's going to be in my life, and where I can start and have my own lot, my own thing. I've never had my own thing before. My own home, my own place, what's mine, what belongs to me. And now you get up there with all the expectation is that, oh, I my place is going to have some flower boxes on the window seals, and I'm going to have some flower gardens around the edge, and I'm going to put a rock walk in, and oh, I'm going to make my place beautiful. I'm going to have a vineyard over here, and I got in my mind what I'm going to have, and get up there to it, and the spy says these giants over there, 9-footers, big old guys, you're like a grasshopper out there, and after everything you went through, and this is what he promised Abraham? Lord have mercy. I'm going to tell you, living for God takes some vision sometimes. Yes. It takes some faith. It takes some faith because all of a sudden you got up and I had heard all the stories and they had heard all the stories. They had heard, listen, they knew the stories too. Yes. They knew about how Abraham was, but they knew about the flood and what Noah did. These people were very rehearsed in their life, in their heritage. They knew what God was, and yet they come up to that point, and it was a hard thing to receive. Yep. But I want to tell you, living for God ain't so much different than all that now. It really isn't much different than all that. And we can have our victories, and you think of that, it wasn't many days before that the Red Sea split open and they walked across on dry land. They saw all of that, and not too many days after that, they don't have enough energy to go across there and conquer that at all. Don't have any of that. Now, I know what we're thinking while that hard-necked bunch of people. But now, before you make that judgment, just wait a minute. Have you ever rode high? Have you ever had a time of real spiritual blessings in your life and a conquering place and you felt like everything's going well and in just a matter of a few moments or a day or so you turned around and you kind of like old Elijah was when after the trial and he's there in the cave and they're chasing me going to kill me and Lord, I don't know why there ain't nobody left but me and all of this and I've had that experience more times I can count, folks. When I look at these people, I realize that these people ain't much different than what we are. And if we're not very careful, we're going to go down. So there is great and precious promises made to us by God. But it isn't without us trying to get them. It isn't just there. It's got to be fought for. We're going to have to, by the help of the Lord, You know, the Lord, I believe the Lord has promised us victory over ourselves. And boy, sometimes I would love to just go have me a good prayer and go to bed, and in the middle of the night the Lord do something and me wake up the next morning just a patient, blessed saint and not have a trouble in the world. Be just as spiritual as I can be, but folks, it don't work that way. And when you start needing patience, you just as well get a hold of something, because here it comes. And but God promised it. God promised it.
Yes.
God will grant it to you. But it's going to take something to get there, and most of the, all of the promises are that way. So I want us to have it right as we go through this, to think about the great and precious promises that God's made to us. Oh, there's a scripture I want to look at. Just, oh, see. Let's look at Joshua here just a minute. The book of Joshua, first chapter. We all know the story. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass. The Lord, he gets Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if I had a promise like that, I'd be busy. I'd be moving. If the Lord told me that every place you put the sole of your foot, you could possess it, I'd move around. I'd skip lunch on that one. I'd take in some acres. I'd get me a chunk if it was that. But there is a promise yet that he'll give us all the ground that the sole of our foot gets on. There's still a promise that we can have as much of this as we want. You can't get too much God. And he's made a promise that if you reach and you strive and you long for me, and if you do, I'll give you everything you can get to. I ain't going to withhold anything from you. You come on and I'll get it to you. The promise that was made to Joshua. The Lord went ahead and told Joshua, Joshua will be strong and of a good courage, and I'll be with you. You follow me and be a servant to me, and I'll go with you. Made a promise to Joshua and said that they would never see their back, and that he would give them victory as they went on. Victory after victory belonged to Joshua by the promise of God. Right?
Yes, he did.
Then what's Isaiah thing about? Huh? I thought God promised. He promised Joshua. He promised him. Lord, where's your promise at? Comes up a little thing of AI and they should have blew them away just bubbering on them. Wasn't nothing to them people. And they went up there and the Lord wasn't with them. Went up there and lost 30-some men and got attacked and drove them off. I'm going to tell you, Joshua took that serious too.
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute, Lord, you made me a promise and now we're fighting this little thing and we lose. God don't lose, folks. When you're losing, something's wrong. He's made a promise that we're victorious. We made a promise that he's going to defeat the devil in our life. He made a promise that we can overcome. That's the promise. And yet, defeat. You know what defeat means to us?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it means to us. It means we ain't God. God don't lose. It means there's something there. Something that should get our attention. You remember old Joshua going and I'm not going to read it all. You remember old Joshua going and falling on his face?
Yes.
Started dealing with God, didn't he?
Yes.
He stepped into a leadership position to be able to get a hold of God and for the people and know what's going on. And there was a promise given to him and now the promise has failed. Oh Lord, are we to go on like this? How can we face the great things if we can't face this little one? We just got defeated here. This is a serious thing. We just lost. This is just a precursor. When you lose the battle, are you going to lose the war? When you get defeated, are you going to lose it all? And say, yes, if we lose the battle, are we going to lose our soul eternally?
Can't do that.
The promise has been made that I'll be with you. So, but what we all know the story. There's no guessing about it. The Lord comes and says, Joshua, get up off your feet. Did I not tell you I'd be with you? As long as you serve me. As long as you stay right before me, did I not promise you? Why are you in this position to where you don't believe what I said? I said that if you'll serve me and make me your God, I'll give you the victory. So let's deduce. We just lost. All right, what's going on? Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. There's something that's caused the promise to fail. God ain't short. The scripture says he's not slack concerning his promise. Another scripture says that his promises are yea and amen. They don't fail. We fail.
Yes.
We fail. And the only way that you and I are going to be successful, folks, is to realize this, that there's a land to gain. And it's precious. And as a side, I want to bring in the story of Naboth and his vineyard. You remember when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard? And it was adjoining his property. And so he gets the idea, what a great value that would be to my property if I could get Naboth's vineyard here. So he goes to Naboth and says, hey, I want your vineyard.
Yes.
It adjoins mine and it would be a great asset to me. And he said, I'll give you what it's worth in land or I'll give you exceeding that. What do you want for it? And he said, far be it from me to sell my heritage. Now let me just think about that a little bit. What was he really saying? I didn't choose the course of my life. God did. God picked the corners of my property. I wouldn't be whole. I wouldn't be in the place I'm supposed to be if I got rid of it. I've got to keep it. I know you're king. But I can't even give this up for a king. Because the real king, the king of all, has made that for me.
Yes.
I can't do what Brother Ed does. I can't hope to be him. It's not my corners. You can't look and say, I want to be Brother Ed. It's not your corner. I can't say, I don't want to have my corners. God chose my calling. My corners, my place. I can't give that up for anything. That's what God gave for me. Within those parameters is my eternal life. Within that is who God wants me to be. Far be it from me to not be satisfied with my lot. One, I didn't think the writer actually wrote that his lines would fall to him in pleasant places. Or the right places for him.
Yes.
We wonder sometimes why a person lives a life of affliction. But I want to say this, the total victory of that is to say, that's where God put my boundaries.
Yes.
It's the victory. Did God, yes. God promised us victory, but he didn't promise us that we wouldn't have problems. He didn't promise us that our bodies would always feel well. He promised the victory in it. And the only way to get it is to submit ourselves and to say, Lord, give me my promise. Give me grace for this. There's a lot of things I don't like about me, but God made me this way. This is who I am. So why would I want to be different than that?
That's right.
If God set the corners, I wish I was smarter. I wish I could do things better. I wish that there was other things. But you know what? I'm me. I'm me. I have a certain ministry that the Lord gives me, and I don't go outside of it. I'm just going to tell you, if the Lord would call me to a foreign work, I'd want to go. But he ain't never done it, so I don't do it. Because he's got my corners.
Yes.
I don't want to go out of the parameters of what he's done.
Yes.
And within that boundary is the promise of God. If I go crawling out of that, I can't expect the promises. He made a promise in these places. And old Joshua, he found out real quick, and they go, and how glorious it must have been. You remember the days of coming up to that second barrier. Oh, they crossed that first one, that Red Sea, but miraculously.
Yes.
Oh, but the second was miraculous too. The water started just back, the Jordan just started backing up. And oh, they come in there, if you remember, they said, they didn't stop. It was a faith thing. Step in there, and if the foot started in, the water started spreading. They sometimes in faith, to keep the, get the promises, you're going to have to step in. Well, yeah, it'd have been easy if it said, get there and say, God gave it to this, where's the bridge? Well, they give it this, not give us a bridge. Well, what are we going to get across? People will turn around. Go back. It ain't worth it. What's God? God said he's going to give us that over there, and he get up here and ain't even a bridge across the Jordan with. This ain't working. No, brother, go step in. It'll come apart. God promised it. God promised it. You got your land over there. You remember how they did it, and it was commanded of them. I like the command. It's kind of like they made a monument in the middle of the river, I believe. They took these stones, and then they packed these stones out to the other side. Now see, I was a surveyor. I started saying my past life, but before I was full time, I was a surveyor. So I understand this totally. If the deed called for the corner of this property to be in the center of that highway out there, it ain't gonna stay up out there. We did it many times where the corner was in the center of the river. Well, you can put a corner in the middle of the river if you want to, but the first time the river gets high, your corner's gone. There's nothing could stand it there. So we had a point in line back so far that we set there that represented the one in the corner, and when you looked on the plat, it would say 57.3 feet to the real corner. But this one is set to say it's there. And when they took them stones out of that middle of that Jordan, they could always look and said, do you know where those come from?
Yes.
They come from the bottom of the river when the water wasn't flowing. And that's what this represents. And I imagine everybody that went by there and generations, probably little boys said, hey daddy, look at the stones. Let me tell you something about the stones and where they come from.
Yes.
But God's got a promise for us. And you remember they went across. It must have been glorious to do that. Then they run into a city. Old Jericho. I remember Paul Harvey telling a story about some archaeologists that went and looked at this, and was digging around the ancient city of Jericho, he said, and he said that they was looking and said that the walls had fell funny for any kind of a disaster or earthquake or anything, that the walls seemed to have just exploded out and laid down and like that. And he said they was stunned. They was stumped by how it could have done it. But he said, but we know, don't we? That's right, Paul. We know. The Lord worked on their behalf. He told them, he promised them. He promised them, you follow me and do what I tell you and I'll fight your battles for you. Went over there and they was obedient and marched around there six days and the seven times and in a great shout. And they done what the Lord said and the city walls come down and glory! God kept his promise. I wonder if they'd have said, I ain't going seven times. I ain't going around there seven times. Six I'll have to do. Well, Paul Harvey had told another story if they'd have done it that way. Folks, those are promises. And there's a part in every promise.
Yes, sir.
For us. We can have the victory. But there's a part in it for you and I. Well, we know the story. They conquered it. But there was a man there that got a little, and he done something that the Lord told him not to do. He took some silver, you remember, and he took some Babylonian garments, and he took those things, and I never understood hardly the story of that. I understand how the human lust works and desire for things, but I don't understand how he'd ever used either one of them. I don't understand that. Surely somebody would have said, that's a Babylonian garment. Where'd you get that? I don't guess he ever intended to wear it out or be proud of it. I guess it was just something that he held to. It didn't matter. The Lord said not to do it, and he done it.
Yes.
And there was no victory there. The victory was gone. And it's the same today, folks. I'm going to tell you, it's the same today. There's a great and precious promises given to us for all of these things. And we can sit around with our arms crossed waiting for our promise if we want to. But most of them have to be fought for. Most of them have to be done right or they don't get no promise. Well, we want the promises of the Lord, don't we? Over in Deuteronomy, a little verse I want to look at. This had to do with Joseph. Land, it said in the 13th verse, the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, it said, and of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that croucheth beneath. So here's said the land, this land and all, I can picture this, because in a land like that, an arid land, the idea of a good place that had a moisture in the air that causes dew would be something that would cool, it would water, it would be something that was special, the things from heaven that they was talking about. It must have been a place that the atmosphere was well and all those kind of things. But folks, it would be really hard to get a drink of that, wouldn't it? I mean, honestly, dew is wonderful and it has its place, but it'd be hard to feed, it'd be hard to water your flock with it. You know how much you'd have to capture to really keep, it'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? I mean, you think about it, you get a drink of it or to use it, you want to wash your clothes, you won't even wash your hands, you'd have to, I mean, be in trouble with it. It'd be awful to just do that. But that's why he went on and said, there's water under the ground. In this land of Joseph, there was something that crouched beneath. And what he was talking about was the rivers of water under there, the springs and the blessings of the water was under there. Lord, you're going to give it. You're going to give me a piece of promised land and I'm going to have to dig.
Yes.
Oh, it's beneath there. But folks, they don't always just pop out. You're blessed to have it underneath there. God didn't do it all. He gave the potential for us to find it and to get the blessing and to be able to be led. And there's even such a thing as prayer. And prayer and keeping the promise and pray and pray and say, Lord, where is the water at? Where should I put down a shaft? Where do I dig it at? There's water down under there, but you got to go get it to the blessings there. The promise of God is that I'll take care of you. Well, where's the fountain? Where's the drink? One of the things that the children of Israel failed over and over and over with, God promised to be God to them, and then they murmured.
Yes.
Instead of finding the promise.
Yes, they did.
Over and over again, they blamed God. Instead of reaching out by faith with the promise and really finding the promise, there's something that crouches, folks. I'm going to tell you, there's something that crouches in every one of our lives. There is a place, a wellspring for every one of us. There is a place of refreshment for every one of us. But it isn't always artesian. It isn't always at the surface, folks. You got to get to digging. You've got to dig down to it to find it. And oh, it can be fresh and invigorating. They called it, when they hit the good stream, you know what they called it? Living water.
Yes.
This was different than something that was put in a tank, a runoff somewhere, or rainwater that's stuck in a hole somewhere, or a ditch or something like that. This was fresh and cool and revitalizing. And this was something that was under the ground that has to be worked for.
Yes.
You have to dig for the promise. I'm going to tell you. Well, you can't be lazy and really be successful for the Lord.
No.
And I'm going to tell you something. Don't mistake a good, vigorous work ethic of naturally or a busyness naturally to roll over into spiritual things, because you can be a go-getter naturally and be spiritually as lazy as you can be. You can miss everything in a spiritual sense.
Yes.
We'll look at another scripture. Oh, 2 Kings. There's a story here I want to pick up a little thought on. 2 Kings 13th chapter, 14th verse says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So if you get the scene, I think it's pretty easy to get. He tells him to take the bow's nearer, and he takes it, and he puts his hand on top of his. And this is the scene. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. I want us to particularly take notice of that last phrase, until thou hast consumed them. So God made him a promise, didn't he not?
Yes.
Of consuming his enemy.
Yes. Good.
Well, God promised. So it must necessarily come to pass. He promised. God's promises are yea and amen. He's not short concerning them. He knows how to bring them to pass. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have been smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Just promised it. How much do you want? The Lord gives us it all. You can have total victory in your life. You can consume the old man in you. You can live right. You can have power with God. You can have victory. But what about if you only want half of it? What if you ain't totally serious about how much you get? What if you don't really have a passion and desire to serve God? I wonder if it might affect the promise.
Yes, it might.
Here's the scenario. He come up to him and seen what kind of a passion and desire he had to put out for it. You want the victory? You want to consume him? You might have to fight him for a number of years to do it. You want the victory? Is it worth to you to fight day and night against him to win? How much passion do you have? His passion was shown by how many times he struck the ground.
Yes.
The Lord was watching.
Yes,
and he made him a promise. I'll give you a promise that you can consume them. Totally consume them. Now here, what do you want? You know, I guess we'll do what we have to. Him a few times and thank God promised and be curious to why it didn't come to pass, and maybe God don't keep his promises. No, God gave the promise right there. You could have had the promise. The prophet was wroth with him because the prophet knew what it was. The prophet said, you should have had fire in your eyes. You should have said, we're going to take care of this. And he should have took him arrows and started whooping the ground. But the prophet should have said in a little bit after he was working the ground over, he said, okay, you got it. You got it. You're good. That's enough. Well, I mean to get it done. I mean to have it. I want to have it. Folks, God will meet us at our passion. God will meet us at our desire. He'll give us victory if we really want it. The song says you can have the victory if you count it so. If you mean to have it, if you say, well, there's no quitting to me. You remember the illustration in the scripture? There was a woman, a widow woman, and she had some problems. So she went before the unjust judge. You remember the story? It's a lesson on prayer. But she went before the unjust judge, and she started importuning. And she kept coming to the point that it wearied God. And he said, I don't fear God or man or nothing. But I better give her this because she's not stopping. Here she comes again. All time of day or night. She's wearying me. I'm going to give her an answer. Lest she weary me. You think she was serious? She was putting out for it, wasn't she? She was sincere about it.
Yes.
And the Lord told that illustration for us. Because the promises have been made. I'll say this, listen, when it comes to the things of God, start smiting the ground. Start hitting the ground with the mirrors. I got a big, God promised the victory, that he'll match you on your intensity for the victory. And when you don't really care whether you have the victory or not, you know what I'm saying. Well, I got this thing in me. I think I better pray about that and go down and say, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you take this out of here. Amen. The next day, he didn't change me a bit. I didn't think he would. I ain't no different than I was before. And I didn't think it would be. And here I am, the same old thing going on. You know, God promised to help us. God said he'd be with us to the end, even to the end of the world. And he'll do it too. And I'm convinced that the Lord will keep every promise that he made. But that promise is contingent and has always been.
Yes.
He said, I'll be your God. Well, that's a big statement, ain't it? If you'll be my people. I'll fight your battles for you. If you'll look to me for it. I'll be what you should, if you'll be what you should be, I'll be what I should be. Agreement? Is that an agreement? You search after it and you can have it. You don't search after it? There's language in the Bible. Do you know the Bible says that the effectual fervent, now wait a minute. We're putting some details to this thing a little bit. The effectual fervent prayer of just anybody.
No.
Just any kind of prayer from just anybody.
No.
Availeth much. God hears prayer. No, the effectual. Effort. Effectual. Fervent. Hot. Meaning. I mean it, Lord. I mean it. Of a righteous man. Availeth much. So much so that he give us the illustration. Do you dare to wonder sometime? Do you dare to think sometimes? I do. I dare to think sometimes. Could one man's prayer, mine, alter the course of the world? Well, Jesus gave an illustration of just that. He said there was a man one time of like passion. That means he's just like us. He wasn't a super roboted. He wasn't angelic. He was flesh. And he had the same kind of passions to want to eat, to hurt, to think things, just like we did.
Yes.
And he prayed. And the course of nature changed. And it didn't rain. Now you talk about powerful. Oh, he wasn't doing it just for himself. He was in God. But we know that. And I dare to say sometimes when I look at the events of the world, could one man's prayer touch the throne so much that things could be altered and changed? Well, we ought to believe it because God promised. He made a promise. So here's the promises. Everyone that I look into, I find that it's dependent on something. God makes a promise, and God will keep the promise. But it's many of our blessings are still, they're not uncovered. Many of the promises and the things the Lord has, they're not uncovered. They're like that that crouches or lies beneath the surface, and it takes something. I've told this story many times, but it was touching to me. I actually read it in a magazine or read it in a story thing one time. There was a story of a young man who it was down in the Amazon region, the best. I'm in Brazil area somewhere down in that area, and they had gold. There was gold down there, and the gold was in the ground, of course. And they had these great big works down there. And this young man, he wanted to strike it, and he went to work for somebody that owned one of these, and he would go down these ladders down into these great big earthen pits, and they would be digging, and they would put sacks of rocks on their back and to climb out of there that would go into the pounders and get the gold. And he worked like a dollar a day to do this endless work to save his money because he wanted to strike it rich. And he finally worked and worked until he bought him, was able to buy him just a little lot, a little area. He bought a little staked off area that was going to be his own, and he was going to find something there. And he began to work, and he dug and he dug and he found nothing, and he dug and he worked and he found nothing, and he dug and he worked, and he started getting discouraged. And after a long time of digging, he finally said, "There's nothing, I can't go on." And he sold his little lot, sold it off. And that night it rained. And the guy that bought it come out with him, waded out into the mud. And with his first stroke of his pick, he hit something solid. And he pried up one of the biggest gold nuggets ever found in that area. First strike. This young man missed his blessing by one pick stroke. Folks, God promised some things that's just beneath the surface. There are some things that you and I have to get in our hearts. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to live for God faithfully, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to find that. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And we press our way into this thing. We work at it. There's a promise left to us that we can be successful. But it isn't by sitting on the couch. It isn't by just letting it come in a dream or in a way. Folks, it takes some diligent effort to find the promises that he's given us. He's promised us peace. But sometimes it's a pick stroke away. Sometimes I don't quite have it. But he made a promise. You know, he promised there's grace for every situation.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But sometimes it's a pick stroke away. Sometimes it's just under the surface. I got to go and dig for that grace sometimes. I got to labor for that grace sometimes. Sometimes it takes getting down on your face, and I'm not talking about for a second or a minute. I'm talking about getting serious to God. Lord, you're going to have to help me. I've been in that kind of place to where I said, "Lord, if you don't help me, there ain't nothing else for me. You've got to help me." And mean it, and God will get it to us. His promises are yea and amen. He's never failed. Not one of his promises. You've failed his promises. God will keep his promises. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. It's in Matthew, I think. The scripture said in one place somewhere that Zion, when Zion travails, she brings forth. And a lot of living for the Lord, I find, is a travail. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, very familiar scripture, Jesus speaking, 44th verse says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, not a treasure, but it's like unto treasure hid in a field." And it gives me a little bit different concept of it like that, because there's treasure hid in the field.
Yep.
It's not a treasure or one place and one place. It's just a field full of treasure. It's everywhere. But where's it at? Is it hanging from the trees? Is it hung onto the bushes? Where's this at? It's under the ground. It's a place you got to dig for it and find it. And you'll find something in one place, and you won't find it all there. It ain't all there. But it's all in the field. God gives us the field, and it's up to us.
Yes.
When we know it's there, you buy the field. And God makes it possible for us to buy the field. We can buy the field. But the treasure's in the field. And now it takes some doings. It reminded me of a metal detector. I like metal detecting. I got done metal, a lot of metal detecting, and there's, whether you know it or not, there's treasure hunting magazines, metal detectors, stories, and there's some wonderful stories in there of people that found one. And one guy was, old guy had some kind of a garden or something, and he was out there kind of tilling around in the garden, and he unearthed a gold coin, and He found that coin. It was really interesting. The best I remember, it was like a $20 gold piece or something, which I assume was a lot more than $20 if you had one. But he found that. And so he got this guy that was metal detecting, and there was so much rusty. There was so much nails and things out there. Gold's one of the hardest things for a metal detector to zoom in on. And anyway, this guy got out there, and he had to go through. There was a lot of metal and nails and everything in there. He worked that field over, and every once in a while he had hit something, find something, and after a while they dug up a bunch of coin, one over here, one over there, down here, different ones, and they started finding coins in different places and ended up digging out quite a treasure out of there, one place other than had to discriminate through all the junk and discriminate through it and discriminate, and that's it and this and that. I know in metal detecting, it's an ironic thing to me, because the number one thing you'd want to find with a metal detector is gold. And the most common, the least common thing to find is gold, and the most common thing to find is a pop tab. And they both register gold. And it's ironic to me, it almost sounds like something spiritual in a way, but it's ironic to me that the most common thing out there, the pop tabs, is the most common sound in beings. Every time the metal detector hits one, it'll say gold on the screen. It don't know how to know the difference. You know what that means? That means you dig a lot of pop tabs, or you always wonder whether it was gold or not. That's what it means. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? In living for the Lord, there's a lot of discriminating goes on. There's a lot of having to try to find out where this stuff's at. But I'm going to tell you, God's promised the gold, and it's there. And he gave us the capacity for it, the ability to do it. It's kind of like an argument that's made in our world sometimes about the American dream. Nobody ever promised you the American dream. They just always said that you could get it if you wanted it.
That's right.
It never was said that everybody was going to get the American dream. It just said there is a way of life that would say you can have it if you'll chase it. And if you'll put your whole heart into it, you can live it. And if you don't, you're not likely to find it. And it's the same way with this. All the grace and mercy and everything we need of the Lord has been promised, and it's there. But it don't mean you get it just because it's promised. It means if you want it with all your heart, and I can say this, I believe with all my heart, if you want to go to heaven worse than anything else in your life, you can go. And that's the way the Lord made it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.